finding some place to turn to. I would turn to Jeremiah chapter 2. And as we are seeking to inch our way back in to Jeremiah chapter 10, 17, we just are reminding ourselves, since we had a little break from it, to remind ourselves about what was happening, Nebuchadnezzar coming down to Jerusalem already, moving down, and the people having little or any concern to look to God, to listen to Jeremiah. So now, in the light of that, chapter 2, and picking up, if I can, in verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. So, you don't want to go against Israel, but Nebuchadnezzar is going to do it. And picking up in thought, in verse 9, the reason. Therefore will I yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children will I plead. Now, looking to God, verse 10. For pass over the isles of Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there is such thing. In other words, let's take a survey of all the land around and about and anywhere, and let's see what's going on. Verse 11. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? In other words, there's only one God. But they count them as gods. All those gods are no gods, because there is no gods, just you, God. And yet are no gods. Verse 11. But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. Verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. A, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And B, they've hewed them out, chiseled them out on the ground and places, chiseled out cisterns, broken cisterns at that, that can't hold any water, that can hold no water. So, A, verse 13, they have, I'm the source of the life, water of life. And they have chosen to proceed without me. And they have hewed, they have made provision to try to have their needs met by what they did in hewing out and making these special places for water. And that we're counting on the water that comes down, and we're going to contain it and keep it and purify it, as it were, which we can't do very much. And God said, listen, it isn't going to hold. So you're going to put water in, the water stays a little bit, and the water all drains out. So now, and verse 11, my people have changed their glory, for that which doth not profit. So just that expression, if I can, what have they done? They have gone and chosen and hewed out cisterns, verse 13. They have forsaken God. They have not. They don't have the glory of God. They don't have God at all. And so now they've substituted something, their own systems, copying the systems of the world, and they were doing them. And they're doing them without God. Now, to get the movement, if I can, in verse 11 again, they have changed the glory, the worth, the weight, the majesty. They have changed all that, and instead of looking to God for glory, they look to anything and everything that would help them, on as the world does, as the world does, to find glory. That's, they wanted to find something that would give them wealth and worth and some kind of identification that would mock them and give them privilege and a great future. Now, having said that, over to Exodus chapter 19 again. And we want to make a little trip and consider they have changed the glory of God. So we want to look at that and learn from it. And in Exodus chapter 19, I would remind you, which you know, but I want you to catch the little phrases and clauses. Exodus 19, verse 4. Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings. And I brought you unto myself. So here they are in Egypt, and God took them across the Red Sea to Mount Sinai to meet him. They were to be introduced to God. Verse 5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar, very special, prized, privileged, personal treasure. You'd be very special. Of all nations of the world, you would be privileged. Now hang on to that. Peculiar treasure unto me, above all people, and by the way, all the earth is mine. Verse 6. You shall be unto me, underline, a kingdom of priests and holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So Israel had a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. Egypt was a very special nation, to say the least. And here are a bunch of slaves raised in Egypt, and rescued. And those slaves go out to be a nation. Now here's this historic nation of Egypt with all of its volumes and pyramids and all of that. Wow! Intellect and everything. Now you're going to take God, a nation of nobody's slaves, and you're going to take them across the Red Sea over to Mount Sinai, and you're going to make them the most special people in all the world. Now think of that. What happens, using a little ahead of myself, what happens if I could go and have some magic abracadabra and I could make you the most special person in all of this earth of 7 billion plus people? I would make you the most special person of all 7 billion. Would that be something? We wouldn't know what to do with it, would you? God did that for Israel. He made them the most special nation of all people in the world. Now, hang on to that. And God made the difference. God the Creator. God is the Creator, and God has created all the earth is mine, and everyone on it. I created all humans, as it were. I've created everything. Bugs, birds, bees, beasts, fish, fowl. I've created it all. All of it is my creation. Now, in order to roll with this a little bit, just think if you could use your imagination, and if you're talented in that way, very good. If you're talented and could paint, and I'm going to give you a full set of paints, full set of paints, and I'm going to give you the canvas. And I want you to go and think, you're going to take those paints with all the different brushes, and you're going to go and put a picture up there. And you paint it, and just imagine that. And you would paint, and we'd all come by and look at each other's paintings. Now, having looked at all those paintings, how much do you think your painting is going to be worth? A million? I mean, how much is the thing that you paint going to be worth? Is it going to be hung in the Museum of Science, Museum of Fine Arts? Is it going to be hung there? Is it going to be put in a art show, painting show, to show all those pictures? To show all your painting? No. So, having said that little bit, and trying to think of all the different painters, Van Gogh, the Dutch painter. And the Dutch painter, now, Van Gogh painted, as he did, with very bright, vivid colors and all of that. And Van Gogh would paint, and in his paintings, now, if you and I were to go into the Museum of Fine Arts or something, and we saw a painting by Van Gogh, do you think you could buy that for $10? Are you excited about Van Gogh? I've looked at some Van Goghs. I'm not excited about them. I like a nice little farmhouse with the cows and the everything. But Van Gogh, would you pay? You'd pay a lot of bucks for Van Gogh, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? You'd pay one. If you had a Van Gogh in your attic or in the basement, you can go sell it, and wow, you're going to get a lot of money. Now, Van Gogh, interestingly enough, Why were his paintings so wonderful? What did he do? He transfigured them by the intensity of how he felt. And as he painted, he was in the painting. He expressed himself with every brush stroke. He expressed himself in it. He put himself into that painting. That was his key. That's what made him so, wow. So here he is. Here's Van Gogh doing all that. And so that when we see a Van Gogh painting, they are worth a lot of money. And that's because Van Gogh did it. And not only are they worth a lot of money, they'd hang in the Museum of Science, a Museum of Fine Arts, etc. And in the process, now, so when we do all kinds of things, but we don't put our person necessarily into it. Van Gogh did. I can get up here and speak without ever getting into this. I can just give you my outline, if I had one, you know, and give you my 4 points, but I may have 5, and I may have 1, who knows. I could do that. God, we do what we do. Aha. It's when the person is involved in the creation, in the painting. Wow. It jumps out. It's got the ingredient that all the normal stuff, writings and paintings and readings and theology, all of it could have. But when that happens, it has that extra oomph that comes right out at you, and it's worth something. Because the person's in it, as it were. Hang on to that. Now, and so the person makes a difference when he's in the painting. And thus the creature. God created us. And the Creator was intense and put himself all into it. Into you. He put himself. Now hang on. And so Israel, you're nobody, but God is going to go and do something wonderful for you at Mount Sinai. He's going to make you a nation, and he's going to make you special. God is going to take you nobodies, and God is going to go and take you and bring you to himself and put himself into you. Here's all the Egyptians, the Phoenicians, the Syrians, all over a place. And here you are. And you are going to be some special people because the Creator is putting himself into you. Hang on to that. Now, so God, here we are looking, and we have our country, our world. And what do we know about our humanity, religion, and every philosophy? What do we know? Well, what do we do? Do we have a sense of God, as a person? We do, but we don't. And evolution comes along, and Freudian psychology, communism, socialism, humanism, it all comes along. And what's it doing? It's trying to understand, like we go up in the moon, we're trying to understand all kinds of things, and we're trying to figure out who we are, what we are, and to give some kind of something about humans. And we've been around now for a while, so we're all still trying to figure it all out. And thus, therefore, we look in the mirror, and we're looking in the mirror, psycho, all of it, and what do we see? We see ourselves. When we look in the mirror, humans, what do they see? Themselves. Now, how special does it make you? Now, you may feel that way, but be of good cheer. Somewhere down the road, you're going to deteriorate even more. So be of good cheer. Now, when you look in the mirror, are you excited about the what you see? Does it thrill your heart? You know, wow, wow, boy, am I something. We don't do that. The world does. The world can only see itself. That's why, is it selfie or whatever you call that stuff? Why is that so popular? Because we look at ourselves. What are we? We're an overgrown leaf? Freudian, communism, socialism. What are we doing? We want to see. What am I? I'm trying to find out what am I? And we have it exponentially what? Well, we don't know what gender we are. We don't know whether we're male or female. And you can't be both. You understand? No matter how you cut the cookie, you're one or the other. No matter how you cut the cookie. So don't go for that. And God, as we shared the other day, God holds everyone accountable when they do that. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. That doesn't mean they can't get saved. They can. But they're going to have to recognize that that's not the way to go. So here we are looking, and we look in the mirror and we see ourselves. And you know from our reminding ourselves over and over again different times, in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, etc., God made us in his image and likeness. Now, God, what did you do? You'd have squirrels, bugs, birds, fish. And when you look at a fish, you see a fish. And when you look at a cockroach, you see a cockroach. That's what you see. God made you different. So when they look at you, they would see him. And remember that in mirror, he's Jesus Christ is the mirror image. So God looks and he created us so that when God looks, he sees himself. That's glorious. That is glorious for God to see himself. He isn't trying to see you or me. He's trying to see himself. Now hang on to that. And sin, what? Sin cut off the relationship. So now we only see ourselves. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, over if you would to Romans chapter 1. And you're going to let it lock in, I hope, in this particular way. Romans in chapter 1, God wants to see himself. He's the creator. You know, we just went up in, they had a up there in the thing going up there in space, floating, traveling around. And they went and they, didn't they take pictures of Pluto? Pluto, that's a little smaller than the moon and the ninth planet. And they take a picture of Pluto. And if you saw any pictures, were you impressed? Did any of you see that? Did you see the pictures? Man, you'd just love to go there on vacation, wouldn't you? No, you wouldn't want to go there. There's nothing there. It's worse than the Sinai Desert. I mean, I don't want to go there. Man, better to go to the Sahara Desert than there. Now, in the light of that, Romans chapter 1, and going directly, if I can, to verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world, He's the Creator, are clearly seen. For what purpose? Bugs, birds, beasts, we're to see them. For what reason? Verse 20. Being understood by the things that are made, even, here's all of creation, all the natural wonderment of everything, all that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, His deity, so that they are without excuse. So everything that we look at, and we used to do, remember when you went to school back a long 100 years ago, older people, you were taught objectively. You are now taught subjectively. You were taught objectively. You weren't talking about, we don't care about your feelings, your fears, or your faults. Is that, what is that number? What is that dog? What are you looking at? And that's what we identified. Objective, objective. Not subjective. Has nothing to do with how you feel about anything. It's just that's what you learned. That's how we grew up. This generation is being immersed in one form or another in the subjective. Now, in the light of that, so when we look at life, I want to see. So when I can't look at anything and not be overly impressed, wonderfully impressed by it, no matter where I look, no matter where we look. And you know what's wonderful about it? Romans 1:20. You know, when Van Gogh did his painting, or others, they put their little John Hancock down there and signed it. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for the identification of the Creator. God said, I did all of this, Romans 1:20, and I signed it. So you want to know where it comes from? You want to know who did it? Who made the bug? Who made the bird? God, you did. That's right. Now what's exciting, the bug? No, the bug is only exciting because of the Creator who made it. You're only excited because of, excited to be what we are. What we are is because of the God who made us. Otherwise, we're an overgrown leaf, blob, chemical reaction. What is there exciting about that? Nothing. That's why communism and all of them, Islam and all, can shoot them by the thousands. Hang them, cut their head off, whatever they're doing. Why? What are you? What did they say? You're nothing. You're either functional or you're not. And you get rid of you. That's no problem. What are you? You're talk, it's true, but you aren't anything. And what do you do when you die? You go back to nothing. Nothingness. So now, having reminded ourselves of that, and keeping that in mind, so God, you signed it? Uh-huh, I did. I want you to know I put it all on display. And as you learn, Abraham looked at the stars. We look at the stars and see 200 billion observable somehow galaxies made up of trillions of stars. I see them. Well, Abraham never knew that. We are able to look with the microscope and all the different microscope, and we're able to see and spend our life just studying what's on top of this wood and what we see. It's a wonder. Everything's a wonder. God said, I did it. I did it. The reason it's wonderful is because I did it. I'm wonderful. The bug isn't wonderful, but the bug is a wonder, and you study it with all its colors and everything. It's a wonder, but it isn't make it. When you move from that, you get to God, why did the bug ever look like this and do like this? Platypuses and all of them. Wow, why can they be like that? Because you made them. And all of a sudden, the bug becomes an elevated, wonderful example and stirs our own heart, no matter what we do. Wow. Wow. That's right. Now, Over, if you would, please. And so the all religions, you want to start Buddhism and Hinduism and Shintoism and all of them, you line them up. And what are we going to do? Are we going to get to God? No, we never get to God. They're out there, Buddha's out there, Allah's out there, someone's out there, and we're here. We never connect. We don't connect at all. So what do we got? Nothing. Depending if you're going to be, feel you're a Hindu or something, and you're going to come back as an elephant, you know, whatever. Wow. So now, God, here we are looking, and here's all the religions, and they don't have any. And where did that all come from? Over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, if you would. And remember, just to remind us, where does it all come from for us humans? The devil, the father of lies, he did that. So now, here's Ezekiel. Remember talking about the son of the Lucifer, son of the morning, the anointed cherub that covereth, the devil himself before he fell. Now, just watch, you'll see it. God, you're going to tell us about this, the first person, that first angel that goofed and made this whole thing happen. Chapter 28, Ezekiel, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom. And remember, we studied all this. So Lucifer, son of the morning, was something else. And perfect, verse 12, perfect in beauty. Now slide your eye over to verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up. Why? Pride. The pride of the devil. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. So here we are looking, God, and Satan claimed for himself this wonderful, his wonderful, wonderful position, his wonderful glory, his grand, the grandeur of his being, special of all angels, special. And he said, that's mine. No, he only had that because the Creator was being honored. And when Lucifer, son of the morning, when he's there, he's reflecting the wonderful presence of God. But he sinned. And he didn't reflect it anymore. No more. Nope. He lost all of that. He's got all the same parts, but all the glory's gone. All the glory's gone. And the devil isn't attractive anymore. He comes as an angel of light, but he isn't light. He's darkness. He's error. He's false. He's deceptive. There is nothing good in him. No truth. Wow. So God, that's what happened to him. What happened to us? He hoodwinked Adam and Eve, and all of us have paid the price for it. So that we humans are very content in being created by something somehow, and we don't even ask ourselves, well, why on earth, whoever created me? And all we have for answers, evolution and all these different things, so we don't have to ask the question too much. We don't have to get into it. So now, here's creation with all of its material, non-material, its natural laws, etc. And they all of them there, if you're scientists, your medicine, whatever you're doing, wow, all of them are going to be enjoyed more when you understand that God, when you understand anything in detail more and more, and you get to explain it and understand it, and you realize that, wow, this just didn't happen. No, it didn't. God, you did that. Uh-huh, I did. So the more I recognize God's signature, I recognize God's print, then all of a sudden, my little study of the heart and the birds becomes very wonderful to me. Not because of the bird, because God created that bird. And that's what changes everything. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, Over, if you would please, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And would you note with me in David's wonderful outworking of it, God's the Word of God, about God's God's awesome presence, His omnipresence. Now, so in the process, I want to go directly, if I can, in Psalm 139, I'm going to slide down, if I can, to verse 13. Thou hast possessed my reins, my inwards. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Now, the next part. And that my soul knoweth right well. A person inside recognizes the body and the wonderment of it. And giving credit for this wonderful, your hands, your feet, all of the wonderfulness of your body. You give credit, my heart, the person in here, gives credit. So it isn't just in wonderful, so what, I whatever. No, everything you have is awesome because God signed it. He created it. Wonderfully created it. And my soul knoweth right well. My person appreciates. And you learn to appreciate what? Everything. In fact, to the degree and measure you honor God is the degree and measure you will enjoy being you. You leave God out, like the world does. People you work, school, go to work, they're all over the place, everywhere, news, television, they're all over. And to the degree you leave, to the degree you leave God out is the degree you lose out. And you lose your specialness. What made you special? God did. And he signed it. And when I see that, it changes my life. Over, if you would please. And by the way, without losing it all, this, just think of what we did on Sunday. The specialness. You are dust, right? Joshua, take off your shoes, put your feet in the dust. Dust. You're dust. Now, how can dust get really excited about being dust? How do you get excited about having a pancreas? How do you get excited about having a toenail? No, God, we get really excited that you did this. And it isn't the body. It isn't the bird. It's you. You. Van Gogh, you are some painter. God, you are some creator. And I'm going to start appreciating being me and you being you because we're special. And that we're the whole 7 billion of us plus. And then you're conscious of the God who made you. They aren't. And you have the advantage way over them in everything, in everything. Over, if you would please, to 2 Corinthians. Change it just a little. 2 Corinthians, if I can. Picking up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know what Israel, remember? You've changed your glory. How stupid can you be? You have made something else or someone else to be the reason you exist, to be your hope and your help. Do you realize how stupid that is? You just threw away your whole wonderment of being alive. And once we do that, dear friend, we lost the God who makes life exciting. Thus, 2 Corinthians 4 and in verse 7. We have this treasure, which is Christ in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels of dust. And the reason, not that we can look at ourselves and say, see how good dust is, with a little bit of polish and a little bit of something and makeup and you can take care of the dust. No. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power, superabounding, exceedingly so, may be of God, N-O-T, not of us, God. It needs to be of you. That's right. It needs to be of me. You won't appreciate anything that I have created without me. And when you include me and understand me, then you'll let me just keep going, because there's no end of who I am and how awesomely wonderful I am. And now when it comes to you and to me, a little more. Over, if you would, please. While you're here in your Bible, over to 1 Corinthians. Well, let's do it a little different. Over to Isaiah, where you were on Sunday. Isaiah chapter 60, for a moment. Isaiah chapter 60. Remember the temple, Israel? Israel in the millennium is going to have a wonderful, wonderful position. And they're going to be a very, 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 very special nation, which God intended them to be, and they will be. And all nations of the earth are going to come and honor them because they are special. They are the nation. The nation. And thus, in the temple, God, what are you going to do? What's going to make it so special? Well, when you fix Jerusalem and you conquer it and beat the enemy and they fix everything up and you build the temple, thus you come to verse 13. And the glory of Lebanon shall, glory, there's your little word, glory we're looking at. There's two or three different words, but they're all similar. And the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, the box together, trees. And what's the purpose? The purpose is to beautify, intensive, to make it glorious, that's the word, beautify, glorious, to make something glorious, beautiful, splendor, splendid. So the glory of Lebanon is going to come, and I'm going to make the building to beautify. I'm going to put all those wonderful things in a most wonderful way into that temple to beautify, to glorify, to make it shine, make it glorious. What? I'm going to make it glorious, the place in this glorious sanctuary, temple, to make the place of my sanctuary. To make the place of my sanctuary, to beautify it, make it glorious, and I will make the place of my feet where I stand. I'm standing in that temple, and it's glorious. It's glorious ground, glorious built, and where I stand is glorious. Everything's glorious about it. Wow. Everything's glorious. Think of that. Now, hang on. Over if you would, and without going there because of time. Verse 14, and the sons also of them that afflict thee shall, remember in the millennium, all of the hardship that Israel's facing, shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, like we did Sunday, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Wow. So, the Jewish nation, wow, you've got a lot coming up. And you realize now, you know the terrible, terrible place Israel's in, because we have gone and betrayed them as a country. We've gone and said, Iran will protect America in the treaty. I'm pretty sure. America will protect Iran from any invasion from Israel. Now, I got to tell you, But it's all right. Because all of that has to come together for Israel to have to sign. You understand? They'll have to do it. There's no way out. There's no way. We can't stop anything. We can't protect ourselves. Well, hang on. Now, I didn't mean to get into that. It's a great subject, though. Over if you would. Now, over in closing, back over to 2 Corinthians, if I can. 2 Corinthians. I don't know who read that. Did anyone ever read that treaty? 80 pages or whatever it is. No, we don't read. We just sign. 2 Corinthians. We share together in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. We share together. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's a wonderful thing. Now, God, we have it. And sliding over chapter 4, verse 16, as you know, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man, our physical body, is perishing, that's why you don't get too excited looking in the mirror, because just hang in there, and what you're going to have to do, look, if you want to see yourself, you'll have to have a picture and keep it in your wallet or pocketbook of when you were 15 or when you were 20, and then look at it every now and then. Remember you used to look like that? Did you guys, you probably did, not know it, young people don't know. Did you ever look at yourself, and some of you are past 20, when you look at yourself, did you ever say, did I ever look like that? Did I ever look like that, you know? Wow. Now, so, God, here we are looking, and you're going to go, and our body's perishing, and verse 17, for our light affliction is what for a moment worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. So, God, we don't mind going through whatever because it isn't the issue. No. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. They're only for a moment. And the things which are not seen are going to last forever. So, God, we aren't going to get excited then, overly excited about anything. Anything can be up and then down, whatever. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God, in the light of that vessel, earthen vessel, chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we are confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body. Absent from the body. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, but it isn't about my body. It's God, it's you, the Creator. And we are, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So I got that part, present with the Lord. Now that's very good. Now, over if you would please, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Now remember, if you could just try to get a little of this somehow. If you will honor God, and if you get saved, and then honor God and get saved and honor God, and do so. So that you can have, so that in the looking at your life, work, home, school, easy, hard, much, little, in the light of the country, in the light of the world, you want to be able to have the specialness. And it isn't because anything about you or me. It's because God has something wonderful in mind about you. Now, what is it that's special and glorious about you? Now, don't get carried away with too many thoughts, will you? Now, John chapter 17. God, what have you done for us? What have you done? Well, I want you to know, the Lord said, I'm going to go, you're going to be, verse 14, I have given, 17, 14, I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that the world shouldst keep them from the evil one. Okay, now, God, having said that, we're left in the world. Here we are. Now, God, Israel was to be your glory, and they just changed that your glory for something or anyone, anything in their lifestyle, and they never got to you. So they never knew their specialness, and they ended up going to the Babylonian captivity, which is the only thing that cured them from idolatry. Tribulation didn't, all of it, it had to go to captivity. And Jews never got into idolatry again. That doesn't mean they believe. They just didn't get into idolatry. What do we do? Well, we're Orthodox Jews, conservative Jews, liberal Jews. We're Jews. We're Jews. We're Jews. We're all of that. But you know what? We're Jewish, but we don't know God, a personal God. We're very special people, but we can't be special. We can't enjoy being special, liberal, Orthodox, and conservative. We're all what we are, just like Protestants and Catholics, you know, Muslims. Now, chapter 17, verse 22, what have you done, God? And the glory, said our Lord, which thou gavest me, I have given them, what for? That they may be one, even as we are one. God, you've given me, you, each one, believing heart, you've given us the glory, your glory. You got that part? He's given you his glory. And I said, what's that? Well, over to chapter 17. And picking up, if I can, in verse 4, our Lord, in his prayer before his crucifixion, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. That's right. God, you represented the perfect humanity of Christ, represented God in a perfect way, and God, finish it off. With thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world ever was. The glory which I had as God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost. Put it all back together again. Got that part? Now, verse 24. Father, God, what are you going to ask in my behalf, on ours? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, absent from the body, present with the Lord. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I went, I'm coming for you. What for? What on earth for? That where I am, they may behold, what, dear friends? My glory. You say that's something. It is something. Here we've had all creation to look at with all of its marvelous everything. God said, I've come to make it so you could see the God, the Creator, who infinitely does all of this. I want you to see him. In fact, in 1 John 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons, the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear and take us, we shall be like him. What do you mean like him? For we shall see him as he is. I want you to see my glory. That's what I want you to come to. And when you see my glory, it will be your glory. Do you understand? Because you will be like me. And if you think your body and your heart and your mind and the world and creation and bugs and birds and bees and science, wow, God, that's nothing. And we're going to be like you. So here's my little, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what is, all that is reminding me of what I'm going to be. What I'm going to be like. And that's glorious. Isn't it? Israel, You changed your glory, you fools, to something or someone other than who I am. I'm the only Creator, the only Savior, the only God. And if you would just look to me, you would learn to appreciate. And if you say, it's hard for me to understand you, God, well then look at yourself in the mirror, open a physiology book or biology book or any other book, any book. Look at anything and you'll know. God said, I want you to get excited by the things I've created about who I am. And all of a sudden your life isn't quite so lonely, it isn't quite so whatever, it changes. Because you're special. And you don't have to try to copy people. I wish I could be part of this or part of that. God save you from being part of anything except Him. Wow. You say, boy, I don't understand that. I know you don't, probably. But if you can't come to know the Lord as your Savior, the Spirit of God's going to do a wonderful thing. And God is giving you His Word. If you never had this, you'd never know it. But God is giving you over and over again, week after week, all kinds of stuff to understand. So you don't have to be stupid about it. So I don't know about that. I never heard of that. That's too bad. God help us. Anyway, I didn't mean to get after you, but I hope you got a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. Jeremiah, Israel's going to learn the hard way. Israel, pray for them now. They were in one tough place. One tough place. To say the least. Wow. So, remember the prison ministry? Remember the vacation Bible?